AI. It's everywhere these days, right? But what happens when this technology, something we rely on more and more every day, becomes weaponized?
Well, that's a question a lot of people are asking.
Exactly. And it's not just about some, you know, Hollywood scenario with killer robots.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the real-world implications of AI in, well, the future of cyber warfare.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we're diving deep into today with this this research paper you've shared.
Right. And, you know, it's fascinating stuff because when you really dig into it, what we're seeing with AI and cyber warfare, it's actually driven by the same forces that has shaped technology, well, throughout history, really.
Okay, now you've got me intrigued. Break it down for me.
Okay, think about it like this. The very same tools that can be used to empower us to improve our lives can also be turned against us. Take fire, for example. Yeah, fire. It's essential for, you know, warmth, cooking, but it can also be incredibly destructive.
Right, a double-edged sword.
Exactly. And we see this pattern repeating itself again and again with, well, with every major technological leap, really. Nuclear technology, for instance. Mm. Immense potential for energy, but also for devastation. And what about the digital world? It's no different.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. It's like those early, what were they called? The phone freaks. The ones who figured out how to make free calls by messing with the phone system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It seems almost quaint now compared to the kind of cyber threats we hear about every single day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, back then, it was a relatively small group, mainly tech enthusiasts kind of pushing the boundaries. But today, I mean, today we're facing sophisticated malware, ransomware attacks that can cripple entire organizations. I mean, we're talking governments even. And the thing is, every new technology, while it comes with all this excitement, all this potential, it also expands what we call the attack surface, right? Creates all these new vulnerabilities that, well, that those with malicious intent can then exploit.
So how are governments even supposed to keep up with that? It seems like they're always playing catch up.
It's a massive challenge. In fact, this paper, it highlights the Australian government and how they've really struggled to modernize their legislation around technology. You know, they actually had to amend the Telecommunications Act, which was originally written way back in 1979.
1979. Wow, that's before I was even born.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. This law, it was written for landlines and fax machines. To try to adapt that for the internet age, it took them decades.
Wow.
It just goes to show how quickly technology can, well, outpace the law and just how complex it is for governments to try to regulate it.
It really is mind-boggling when you think about how much technology has evolved, like even just in the last decade.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, rapid evolution, we got to talk about AI.
Right.
I mean, we're using it every day without even realizing it, right? Like asking Siri for directions or Alexa to play our, you know, our favorite tunes.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really just, you know, it's just scratching the surface. What we're seeing with, particularly with cyber warfare, is the emergence of these far more sophisticated AI subtypes,
mm-hmm.
right? Each with, you know, its own set of capabilities, its own set of vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've definitely piqued my curiosity. What are these AI subtypes, and how do they play into all of this?
So one that's particularly relevant to cyber warfare is machine learning, or ML.
Okay.
Essentially, it's about teaching computers to find patterns in these massive amounts of data.
So instead of having, you know, a human hacker trying to sort of like suss out a weakness in a system, they can basically just have AI do all that heavy lifting for them.
Precisely. It's like, yeah, like giving those attackers a superpowered magnifying glass, right? So they can spot those vulnerabilities that they might otherwise miss.
Okay.
And then there's deep learning, EL.
Right.
This is where things get really interesting. Because DL systems, they can actually learn and make independent decisions using what are called neural networks.
Okay.
Very much like the human brain.
So we're talking about AI that can actually think for itself in a way.
In a way, yeah.
I got to admit, that's a little unnerving.
It is. And it has this incredible potential for good. But in the wrong hands, you know, those same capabilities, well, they could be used to design these highly sophisticated, completely unpredictable cyber attacks.
Right.
And then, of course, we can't forget about computer vision, CV.
CV.
This is basically how computers see and interpret images.
Oh, okay. Like those like self-driving cars that everyone's talking about.
Exactly. They rely heavily on computer vision to navigate their surroundings.
Yeah.
But think about it. What are the implications of that for cyber warfare?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If someone could manipulate what a car's cameras are seeing, you know, cause it to do something, well, they could cause chaos on the roads.
It's a chilling thought. And the paper actually gives some other pretty unsettling examples of how AI is already being used today in ways that I think most people don't even wouldn't even imagine.
It's true. It's rapidly being integrated into all these different sectors, often with the best of intentions.
Right.
In healthcare, for example, it's being used to analyze all this medical data to assist with diagnoses.
Yeah.
There have even been some studies that suggest that AI could actually be better than humans at detecting certain cancers.
That's incredible. But I imagine that also probably opens up a whole can of worms, ethically speaking.
It does. It does. And it's not just healthcare. I mean, in the construction industry, AI is being used to optimize project plans, taking into account things like weather patterns, worker safety, and then, of course, the military, they're increasingly relying on AI-powered drones for surveillance and even combat.
So we're talking about like autonomous weapon system.
Yeah.
It's like something straight out of a science fiction movie.
It is. It is. And it really highlights that kind of that double-edged nature of AI. It
Yeah.
has this potential to, really revolutionize so many aspects of our lives for the better, but at the same time, it's introducing a whole new set of risks, risks that, frankly, we're only just beginning to understand.
That's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
But also a little bit, a little bit frightening to think about just how quickly AI is advancing.
It is. And what's even more unsettling? Even with the best of intentions, things can go wrong. I mean, these systems, they're not foolproof. The paper actually, it spends some time discussing these vulnerabilities, kind of referring to them as AIs, like its Achilles heel, those inherent flaws that can make it so susceptible to manipulation.
Okay, so you're saying that even without some, evil genius intentionally programming AI to go rogue, like in, like a war game scenario, there are still inherent risks just based on how AI is built.
Exactly.
That is a little unnerving.
It is. And those risks, they really stem from the very nature of AI itself. I mean, today's AI, it's not capable of that, Hollywood level independent strategic thinking. Like, it's not going to take over the world, at least not yet.
Right.
But even within the boundaries we set, unexpected consequences, they can still arise. And often it's because of the data it's trained on or the way that it processes that information.
So it's not so much about, AI becoming self-aware and turning on us, but more about these unintended consequences of its limitations.
Right.
Okay, I need an example. Like, what kind of mishaps are we talking about here?
So there's the famous case of Tay, the chatbot that Microsoft developed.
Right.
It was designed to, learn from online interactions,
Right.
but it very quickly absorbed kind of the worst of human behavior and
Yeah.
started, generating all this offensive, inflammatory content.
Ouch. So much for a friendly AI companion.
Right. And it highlights a really crucial point. AI is only as good as the data it's trained on.
Right.
Another example is that incident with Google's image recognition system where it misclassified humans as
Oh,
gorillas.
yeah, I remember that. That caused quite a stir.
It did, and for good reason. I mean, on the surface, it seems like a simple error, but it exposed this real potential for bias in these AI systems.
Right.
If they're not carefully trained and monitored, AI can inherit and even amplify, existing societal prejudices.
That's a disturbing thought, especially when you think about how much we might rely on AI to make decisions, important decisions in the future.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. And that bias, it can lead to some truly bizarre outcomes. The paper, it actually talks about this phenomenon called giraffing.
Giraffing.
Yeah, giraffing. So imagine an AI system and it's being trained to identify giraffes in images.
Okay.
If it's fed too many pictures of giraffes, it might start seeing them everywhere,
Really?
even in images where there are no giraffes at all.
Giraffing, that's a new one. So
Yeah.
it gets so hyper-focused on what it's been trained to see that it just starts seeing it even when it's not there.
Precisely.
Wow.
It's a bit like, seeing shapes in clouds, but on a much, much grander scale. And this tendency, it's called overfitting, to find these patterns even where they don't exist, it's a vulnerability. And it's one that can be exploited, especially in the context of, of cyber warfare.
Okay, so we've got biased AI, AI seeing things that aren't there. How does this actually translate into real-world cyber attacks?
Well, it means that instead of trying to outsmart AI, adversaries can actually exploit these inherent weaknesses.
Okay.
The paper outlines several methods for doing just that. One is called data poisoning.
Data poisoning. That sounds kind of ominous. What is that?
So imagine subtly manipulating the data that an AI is being trained on. So sneaking in mislabeled images or tweaking data points. And over time, this can cause the AI to essentially learn the wrong things, leading to, you know, misclassifications or even dangerous actions.
So it's not like a virus, like, attacking a system from the outside. It's more like...
It's more insidious.
Yeah, yeah. It's like bad intel, you know?
Yeah.
Corrupting the AI's whole understanding of the world.
Perfect analogy. Then you've got transfer learning attacks.
Okay.
So the paper uses an example of an AI, and it's trained on U.S. traffic signs.
Okay.
And this model, it's shared openly, but it's been embedded with what are called backdoors.
Backdoors.
Hidden triggers that only the attacker knows about.
Oh, wow.
So someone could download what appears to be this perfectly harmless traffic sign AI.
Right, right.
And unknowingly give an attacker a backdoor into their entire system.
And because it was trained on U.S. traffic signs, could it be used to target systems globally?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that's the scary part.
That is terrifying. Okay, mm-hmm. And then there are evasion attacks, right? That's about, like, finding and exploiting existing flaws in AI systems.
Exactly. Remember we were talking about those Tesla autopilot manipulations?
Yeah.
Researchers, they were able to trick the AI by exploiting its vulnerabilities without even having to, you know, hack into Tesla systems or anything like that.
Oh.
They simply manipulated what the car's AI was seeing and caused it to make dangerous decisions.
It feels like we're creating these incredibly powerful tools, but then also handing our adversaries the instruction manual on how to use them against us.
Yeah, it's a valid concern. Imagine an adversary and they're able to manipulate drone recognition systems. They could cause those drones to misidentify targets, potentially even turn them on their own forces, or consider the financial sector. Attackers could exploit AI and lending systems to steal money, disrupt entire markets.
Right. The potential for chaos is just enormous.
Yeah.
And it's not just hypothetical either, right? I mean, this Dr. Edel project that the paper mentions, I mean, that just sends chills down my spine.
Yeah, it's a very stark reminder of what the potential consequences are here of unchecked AI development. Mm-hmm. Researchers were essentially able to show how an AI, it was designed for drug discovery, it could be reversed, easily reversed, to invent deadly chemical weapons.
Oh, wow.
And the most alarming part, there's still a real lack of comprehensive regulation and oversight when it comes to AI development, which makes it that much harder to prevent these technologies from being used for, you know, for harmful purposes.
So it's not just about building safeguards into AI. It's about making sure that the technology itself is developed and used responsibly from the ground up.
Precisely.
Okay, so what can we do? Give me some hope here.
Well, there are some promising solutions that are emerging. One is called federated learning, and this allows multiple parties to actually collaborate on training these AI models using encrypted data.
So like a global AI brain, but with privacy baked in.
Exactly. It's a way to harness the power of this kind of collective data without compromising individual privacy. And then there's differential privacy. This is a method for protecting those individual data points while still allowing for, you know, useful analysis. And then perhaps the most intriguing solution is this concept called homomorphic encryption.
Homomorphic encryption.
It sounds like something out of a spy thriller, right?
Yeah.
But it essentially allows for computations to be performed on encrypted data without ever actually having to decrypt it.
So even if someone got their hands on that data, it would be useless to them.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
It's a really powerful tool for being able to protect that sensitive information while still being able to harness the power of AI. But even beyond these technical solutions, we also need to kind of rethink our whole approach to the AI supply chain.
What do you mean?
Well, just like we verify the integrity of software, we need to make sure that these AI models, they're coming from trusted sources, that they haven't been tampered with. We need to know where they came from, how they were trained, what data was used.
So it's about securing the technology, the data, and the whole ecosystem, really,
right,
in which this AI is developed and deployed.
Exactly. And we can't forget about the human element, right? I mean, government regulations, ethical oversight, these are crucial, especially when you're talking about sensitive fields like healthcare and pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
We need clear guidelines and regulations in place to ensure that this technology is being developed and used responsibly.
It's a lot to consider. I mean, as AI becomes more and more powerful and more integrated into our lives, I think it really does raise this crucial question. Can we ensure that it's developed responsibly and used ethically?
Oh.
Or are we kind of sleepwalking into a future where the very technology that's supposed to make our lives better could ultimately be used against us?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's something we all need to be asking ourselves as we, you know, as we venture greater into this age of AI.
It certainly is just a lot to think about. Well, thank you so much for, you know, for taking us on this deep dive into the world of AI and cyber warfare. It's been eye-opening, to say the least.
It's been my pleasure. I think the more we can understand these complexities of AI, both its potential and its perils, the better equipped we'll be to navigate the future.